First of all, I want to thank all of you for coming on this morning. While it was still dark in the skies, the Lord began to speak to me in a profound and wonderful way. And he told me to share what he shared with me, with you tonight. So I was really excited about that because, well, partially because of what he gave me, and partially because it's always wonderful when we come to realize that what we are hearing is exactly what the Lord wants us to hear at a given time. His words are always so precious. They're more precious than gold. There's nothing on the earth like them. And quite frankly, I don't want to miss what he's saying. And then when he speaks, I could hear it again and again and again and again. And I'm sure you're that way too. So we'll all listen attentively to what he is saying, because he's talking to us about the very near future. God has a plan, a very wonderful plan that he's putting into motion. I know sometimes with things that are going on with Trump, with our government, and so on, that it can be frustrating. You look forward to thus and so, you think this or that is going to happen, and it seems like we just take one more circle around the mountain. And I understand your frustration, but you might say the parade POTUS is leading right now is to clear the path so that all good things can be given to the people of America. Of course, the Christian knows that that must come in righteousness. But there are many who are not born again, and they don't know that they're supposed to want the kinds of things that God is preparing. So it's up to us to keep praying for them, that God will remove the blinders and give them a heart to follow after God, and so on and so forth. And be thankful for this man, POTUS. I can't tell you, although he is moving about in what seems like a very strange way, what he's doing is preparing God's best for this nation. And we will all see that pretty close to this timing. I'm going to be so glad when it happens, because we cannot have all that God has promised us, you know, in the church, unless the nation itself is ready for it. So just be patient. Believe in what God is doing. You really don't have to believe in Trump. You don't have to believe in his those that he's using for his voices. You really don't have to believe in them. If your heart is set on God, and if you will believe God, because God is already predetermined that he is going to, you might say, pick up or pull this left off. He's going way far and beyond what POTUS as a man could possibly do. So he's just part of God's plan. Our faith must rest in God. And we praise him daily, even for the things that we don't know and that we don't see. We're going to be so thankful that we chose that option rather than frustration, anger, and all the things that you can go through when your faith is in a man. So tonight, he wants me to talk to you about where you are. Where you are and how you came to be. Isn't that a strange title? I heard him speak this morning, and he spoke right out of the book of John. And what I heard him saying was his discussion with the leaders of Israel when he informed them that they were from beneath and he was from above. Now, of course, they would know what it was he was trying to say. And even at that time, they were well aware that they were dealing with the Son of God. There was no doubt. They kept playing the games because they feared that he might take the kingdom from them and do something different than what they were planning on. I understand their fear. Because, you know, in one respect, that's exactly what he came to do. But in another respect, he was after something so much higher, and that was to introduce man to their heavenly home. He wanted to introduce man to the possibilities of being born of God. He wanted to take the Shekinah out from behind the veil and let it fall on man. He wanted to bring about the relationship between God and man that God had waited generations to have. His plan was so much bigger. Well, I use the word sensational. It was so much more sensational than what they could possibly have dreamed. But it was greater. It was more powerful. It carried more authority. It was glorious. It would mean a complete transformation in the way that they related to God and to man. Such a transformation that many couldn't bear it. They feared it too much. They simply could not understand because their unbelief had blinded their eyes. So Jesus is saying he's from above and man is from beneath, and this is why they were having difficulty understanding him. They thought that they could, if God were to come in the flesh, that they would understand it, that they would be able to relate quite easily to him. And when he came and even spoke the Lord's words, they didn't want to accept him, even though they knew what this man was, who he was. They couldn't bring themselves into humbling themselves and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus come to do? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be in the Amplified Bible. And he who descended is the very same as he who also has ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of the flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministry toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completion of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure and the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. This is what he came to do. He came to provide a leadership for what would become his church. And the purpose of the leadership was not to build kingdoms around their name, but rather to build up the saints into the interior image of Christ and the fullness of his stature. Now, some people might consider that, might ponder it for many hours, many days. What could it possibly mean? It's been in our Bible for 2,000 years. The call to come higher. The call to enter into the vastness of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven. The vastness of the vision of Christ. The vastness of the knowledge of Christ. Look at how long the church has been here, and we still don't have that down pat. We're growing, we're learning, we're understanding, but we're just nowhere near what he's called us to be. For those who are making a true effort, seeing to it that their life makes changes, seeing to it that they abandon the character flaws of the flesh to walk in the virtues of the Spirit. He loves his children, and he wants to encourage them and teach them how to have total victory, to rule over all. Because the Bible tells us that if a man cannot rule his own spirit, really, he can rule nothing. Our spirit is the most important thing for us to get a hold of. So the Lord speaks to me, and or at least lets me hear this conversation that is going on, where Jesus is trying to lift the veil, even for just a moment, and say to them, now look, I know you're struggling to understand me. You're struggling to hear the words that I speak. You're struggling to understand the call. I understand that. But may I offer this, something for you to seriously ponder. You are the children of your Father, who is beneath. I am the son of He who is above. How can the twain meet? Something has to happen. We cannot understand Him, yet He understands all things, including how to communicate with us. So the problem really isn't Him. The problem is our perspective. The problem is that until we have the strength, the dynamics, the very essence of His life in us, ruling in victory over the world, over the flesh, over the sinful nature, until that happens, we are not going to be able to understand Jesus. The more we have launched ourselves against the depravities of the evil kingdom, and we push in to the holiness, to the glory, to the beauty of Christ, the more we do that, the more we learn to understand Jesus, what makes Him tick. When He says this, what does it mean? When He says that, what does it mean? And we can finally come to a place that we have quit second-guessing Him. And we take His words for full face value and align ourselves to those truths. This was what He was presenting that day. The understanding that He's from above, and if there's any hope for them to truly understand the God they say they love, there has to be an inner transformation, because right now they were consigned to the God of the underworld, and to men and women that thought they were so pious, so righteous. Boy, what a slap in the face. If only they could have had the wisdom to know what Paul knew, and that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Or what Jeremiah knew, that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Is that he who is not born again? Or does it include the born-again Christian? If we can accept that, it includes the born-again Christian. And it sets that Christian on a path that will eventually change their life forever. We can't depend upon our heart. We can't depend even upon our mind. We can't depend upon our own strength. We cannot depend upon our flesh. And notice, in all the things that I'm saying right now, I'm not pointing the finger at the devil. I am saying that the problem is ours. And if we will accept it, and make a determined effort to overcome it, we can have anything in God we desire. And so this is the call that Jesus is putting in their hand. We have got God the Son coming to earth to impart into the believer a nature that is from heaven. And when that happens, that person will become a new creation. They're not going to understand that at first, but that is precisely what it does. Makes that person a new creation and part of the community of the new creation. Because now they have more than their own nature. They have the very nature of God residing in their bosom. Something is going to have to give. They will develop new hungers. They will develop new vision. They will develop new desires, new abilities, new capabilities, new gifts, new understanding, new wisdom, new knowledge. The list is endless. They will seek to live in righteousness and in holiness. My, oh my, how they will change. Because now, they're part of the new creation. They're no longer Jews in the temporal sense. The Gentile is no longer a Gentile. But these who accept Christ immediately receive two forms of impartation that makes them a new creation. It's so amazing because how many of us got saved, stood up, and said, well, praise God, I just feel like I've been born of God. Not many are going to say that. It takes time to really comprehend what happened that day. But our lack of understanding does not negate what God has done. Now, so Paul said that we were sealed with a long promised Holy Spirit. And I've seen that seal. The Lord has allowed me the privilege to see that seal, It's in a circle. It's not like a ball, but it's a circle. It's a line, a circular line, and it's indigo in color, and it shines like an indigo light. And it's moving like a wheel constantly. Now, the satanic kingdom recognizes that seal. Every one of his cohorts recognizes it. They see it. So they know without even talking to a person whether they're a believer or not. Because a believer, every believer, has that seal on their forehead. The second impartation that they receive is the Holy Spirit. And he comes in as the teacher, the comforter, the wisdom, the righteousness of God to transform that soul into a person who is quite comfortable as a new creation living in the new kingdom. Why did God have to do that? Because Paul clearly wrote, the carnal mind cannot comprehend the mind of God. It can't comprehend it. It cannot understand it. It is a mystery to that one. So God had to do something to transform that person in such a way that the person can begin, at least in a small way, to understand the newness of life he's been given and the lordship of Christ in that newness. I really want to encourage you to open your minds and open your hearts, because the Lord just began to pour out his Spirit, because he wants to make this so real to you for the sake of you, your family, and the future. So God has put within you his own Spirit with his own personality, with his own characteristics, and it is right inside of your temple with your Spirit. Now, we all know that in theory and in principle. What was so amazing to me this morning is that the Lord allowed me to see into the realm of the Spirit. And what I saw was that the biggest majority of this church does not understand that they have been transferred to the kingdom above from which Jesus came. Their authority is operational from that throne. Their vision is created by the author of that throne. Their path is created by the first and the last to lead us into the highest realm of the Spirit. If we will go. But most people, most Christians, really are not fully aware of what this gift is and what it makes them. They are no longer Tammy's next door neighbor. They are no longer Bill's bowling partner. We can't even call them the preacher, because there's something higher than that, and that is the child of God, the one that has obtained the nature and character, the authority, the power, the love, and so on and so forth, of the kingdom above. The kingdom is now inside them. Jesus told us that there would be a time we'd be so hungry for the kingdom that we would be tempted to follow people saying, I found the Messiah, he is here or he is there. Jesus said, stay away from them. The kingdom of God is nigh you. It's in you. That may not make a lot of difference to you right now, but when I when I experienced this morning, there was such an expansion of my spirit that I really thought I was on my way into a visitation. It was the expansion was so great that my physical body was having a very difficult time containing it. And why is there this expansion? Because, my friends, the kingdom of God is in you. We await for a special manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, a special manifestation of the kingdom of God. And we're right to do that. But we must not forget the first part. The kingdom of God is in you. And if that's true, how much can you be likened to heaven? In heaven, light sings. So there is a constant, unintelligible sound in heaven every minute, because heaven is filled with pure light, and light has a song in its purest form. Heaven is love. Heaven is Christ. Heaven is the Father. Heaven is peace. Heaven is joy. Heaven is where all of your needs are met, not in a linear way, but every minute of the day. Before you call, he answers, and your need is met. This is heaven. This is the kingdom that's inside of you. If you and I could really get in touch with what I experienced this morning, our faith would explode and we'd be running around, moving around valleys, moving around mountains, moving around anything that seemed inconvenient. Our faith would explode. And rightly so, because there is no greater power in all of existence than the power of the Father. And heaven is part of him. Just as you are now part of him. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He is all knowledge. Nothing is new to God. And that is in you. And he's free to pull on that anytime he wants to. But the more you meditate on that, contemplate on that, and live the life of holiness and righteousness, so you can continue to walk in higher and higher places of that reality, you will live the life of heaven on earth. And there will be nothing that you cannot accomplish. Well, the Father said of man that there is now nothing they cannot do. And he was talking about the unsanctified. How much more true is that one who has the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in them by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is constantly taking from the Father and teaching us, taking from the Father and giving to us, it is a constant transaction that you're going through. And again, this is not a linear thing. It's a spontaneous, every minute of every day is like pulling every minute of every day out of the atmosphere and making a ball of it and sitting it on your lap, because everything is right now. Everything is past, everything is present, everything is future, but it's right now. And he wants to teach his church how to walk in that kind of wisdom. I had a friend from a foreign country who was visited by a couple of saints for several weeks, every single day. And they were there to teach this friend how to walk through walls. Because, they said, God is going to need this gift in the days ahead. And I thought, well, I talk about that kind of stuff in my book, Prepare. This person experiences it now, that he was taught by the kingdom of heaven on how to do it. When the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it owns you completely, you can be called to the funeral knowing that you can't possibly go for another 2 or 3 days, because the whole world needs to know that that man no longer lives. And when you do go and you finally arrive, because that man too is filled with the kingdom of God, you call him to come forth, and the glory explodes within him, and out he comes. And that's nothing to you. You don't even give that a second thought, because the kingdom life is supernatural life. The key is to learn how to walk so as to release the kingdom power and authority, the essence of the spirit of the kingdom, as much as you can every day to accomplish the will of God. It is a most extraordinary thing. We call it, in the way we teach it, because this is how I've been being taught about it for almost 40 years. We call it union. And in my mind, it always spoke of unity with my Savior, my Messiah. But I'm coming from a different perspective today. And I'm giving you the perspective of your legal position. Paul wrote that we are seated together with him in heavenly places. And we are. It doesn't matter if you're 5 days old in the Lord or if you're 50 years old in the Lord. Maybe you've never taken advantage of your seating because you don't understand it. But that doesn't negate the fact that now you're in him. He is in you every minute of every day. And you therefore are seated at the right hand of God. And that's where your authority comes from. It's not authority that is the problem, usually. It's faith. Not knowing how to put your faith into motion to work with the Spirit of God. Sometimes the problem is sin. So you need to make sure you get all that out of the way. But once you've done that, you're prepared to hear His voice and do His will. And I can promise you, if He tells you to do only one thing all day long, do it. And you'll be blessed for it. And you will never have to worry if you should have done many things. Because obedience is the chief thing. In heaven, everybody obeys. There's no second guessing. There's no arguing. Lord, there's none of that. The Spirit speaks to you, and you go do. And you do it with joy. Because you are literally being compelled by heaven's Spirit, by the Spirit of God. You're being compelled to mobilize in God's will. If you could feel what it feels like, your entire being. Remember when Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Satan cometh, and he has nothing in me." That's what it takes you to. There's no sin, there's no worldliness left in you. You've been purified unto God. So your spirit is carrying the very life of the kingdom every minute. And you feel weighty. And it's at the same time, you also feel very light. You feel weighty in that the very presence of God is filling you. The very presence of His kingdom is filling you. Yet you feel light because your spirit is carrying you rather than you carrying your spirit. It is a whole new life. And the Lord, I've got all kinds of scripture, and I'll try to remember to give them to you next time around. But the Lord wants you to meditate on, think on these things, and see if you can hear His voice about what that means to you. If He's got an army of people going across this nation who understands what I'm sharing with you, and they believe, they have great faith, this army could overturn so much darkness in this country in a very short period of time. So it's really important for the kingdom's sake for you to come alive in the knowledge of what I've shared. And it's important for your sake. May I pray for you. Father, we thank you. We look to you. We yearn for you. In a dry and weary land, we yearn for you. We yearn to be filled and animated by your Spirit, for our soul to be cocooned by the power, the beauty, the holiness of your Spirit, that our thoughts are no longer our thoughts, but your thoughts. We want to please you, Father. And with everything that is in our life at this time, that is causing agitations of fear, I negate that in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you will teach those that are struggling against this how to rise above it and stay above it, so they can walk in faith and accomplish what you want them to do. What I felt this morning, what I experienced this morning at your hand was, it was so otherworldly, it was so majestic, it was so holy, so pure, so beautiful. And I want it for your church. We need it so badly. Help us, Lord. Help us to overcome, that we can release the good things that you want to send upon the world. Teach our mind, our understanding, our heart, and our spirit how to walk in this gallant truth, this marvelous truth. Father, you said that America had been given to the church, that we can speak over this nation now, and that powers and forces, circumstances and so on must obey if we are speaking your will. So I pray that you will put that faith in the heart of everyone on this line, because we are coming into a time when we are going to be wrestling with the powers of darkness, not to be taken down, but to take them down. That America will be like the city on the hill, as you always destined it to be. That we will be worshiping you, and not our idols and not ourselves, not our plans, our positions and so on, but our thoughts and our worship, our adoration can be only to you, which we so desire for it to be. We thank you for receiving us, Lord, and meeting every need according to your riches and glory. We thank you for that, Father. Help us to be a glory to you. When you look upon us, let there be a smile that arises upon your face. We give you praise, Lord, in your precious name.